Tonight I'm going to be speaking about the coming of the Lord, the return of the Lord. And I believe that the Lord comes after the tribulation. I believe there is tribulation. I believe the tribulation in 70 AD that the Jews went through is not the tribulation. There's a tribulation coming for the church. I believe in a personal Antichrist. Daniel 7:21 says that there's a horn and he makes war with the saints until the Ancient of Days come. And the saints do not possess the kingdom until after the Ancient of Days comes. And what that tells me is that when the Ancient of Days does come, who is Jesus Christ, that's what John saw in Revelation chapter 1 with his hairs white as wool, his eyes like fire. It's a picture of Jesus Christ as God, as the Ancient of Days. Micah 5:2 said the one, the ruler that would be born in Bethlehem, his origins would be from everlasting. Only God is from everlasting, the Ancient of Days. The one that was born in Bethlehem is the Ancient of Days. And when he comes, until he comes, there is a horn that is making war with the saints. And the saints do not possess the kingdom, Daniel 7:21 and 22, until after the Ancient of Days comes and he destroys the horn. Now there's a view out there, the preterist view, that they believe that Nero is the beast of Revelation 13, that Nero's the horn, I guess, of Daniel 7:21, and that there is no Antichrist. But if you look in Scripture, in Revelation chapter 19, and when Jesus comes with the armies of heaven, when he comes, this Babylonian world system is in power. And when he comes with the armies, the host, the angels, the hosts are the armies, are the angels of God. You will see that he takes the beast at that time when he comes, the beast, the horn, the lawless one, and he throws him and the false prophet into the fire when he comes, the parousia. Go to 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. The second chapter, 2 Thessalonians 2, chapter 2. And our preterist brothers, I just disagree with them. 2 Thessalonians gives us a picture of what the Antichrist will be like. It is someone who does, he deceives the nations by miracles, by deception, by lying signs, by wonders. This is not a type of, Nero may be a type of this type of lawless one, this Antichrist that is coming. But if you look in chapter 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 8, you will see that he is destroyed when the wicked one comes. Steve, would you hand me this Bible over here? I'd like to read it out of the English Standard Version instead of the Old King James. The English Standard Version is a word-for-word translation. And I like it. I don't like it quite as much as the Old King James. I like the word-for-word translations. I don't care for the paraphrase. I don't care for the thought-for-thought. Now here we go. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter. Now we just saw that the little horn in Daniel 7:21 is making war with the saints until the Ancient of Days comes. And the Ancient of Days conquers him, and it says that he throws his body in the fire. This is all in Daniel chapter 7. And the saints possess the kingdom after the Ancient of Days come. They don't possess the kingdom 7 years prior before the Lord comes for our pre-tribulationist brothers. For our preterist brothers, if you look at 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 8, it actually starts with the parousia, the coming of the Lord, and the gathering together of the saints unto the Lord. That's the first two verses. Now concerning the coming, the parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ in being gathered together with Him. Before that happens, before that day comes, there has to be some things that happen. You see? And He's not coming in judgment here. Here the context, He's coming to gather the saints. That for our preterist brothers in Matthew 24, 29 through 31. He's coming in the clouds, which you say represents judgment. But the context is that He's not coming for judgment. The context, He's coming to send His angels to gather the elect. You see? That's the main context of Matthew 24, 29 through 31. And He comes after the tribulation. And after the tribulation, He gathers His saints. There again, the word parousia is used in Matthew 24, 27. As lightning comes from the east, so shall the parousia, the coming of the Lord, be. As lightning comes from the east, you can see lightning. And you can hear lightning. It's not something done in secret for our pre-tribulationist brothers. You see, after the tribulation. And that coincides with what's going on in Daniel chapter 7, verses 21 and 22. See, the Antichrist is making war against the saints. He's prevailing. He's using His power, His authority to overcome them. To kill them. You see? And that's a tribulation period. And we'll go back to Daniel 12 as well. But right here, in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and our being gathered together with Him, we ask you not to be troubled, to be quickly shaken in mind or alarmed, either by a spirit or a spoken word or letter seeming to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. See, that day has not come. They were worried that day had already come. Let no one deceive you in any way, for that day, the parousia, the gathering together of His saints, that day will not come unless the rebellion comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed. You see, before the saints are gathered together unto Christ, the lawless one, there has to be a falling away of the faith. There has to be a man of sin, a man of lawless one is revealed. And he deceives the nations with lying signs and wonders and miracles. Verse 9. Okay? And now it says in verse 8, verse 7 and 8, for the mystery of the lawless one is already at work, only he who now restrains, the Holy Spirit, will do it until he is out of the way. Verse 8, and then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of His mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of His parousia. When He returns, here's the lawless one, is in power. He's doing lying signs. Armageddon. He's gathering and deceiving the nations. He sends forth spirits to deceive. Revelation 16. I believe verses 13 through 17. You see? But when Christ comes, the lawless one is here. And then He gathers as He comes. The angels gather the elect. And we're caught up in the air to meet the Lord. And angels, the other reapers, are gathering the tares. They're gathering the wheat into the barn. And at the same time, they're gathering the tares to burn them in the fire. But you can see in Revelation 19, He comes with the hosts, the Ancient of Days, the King of Kings on a white horse, with the hosts, the armies, the angels. That's another thing we may get into if we have time. That the armies, the hosts, are the angels, the end of the age. See, Christ comes, He sends forth His angels, the angels come with them. The angels are the army, they gather the elect. Matthew 13, 39, the harvest, the gathering, the rapture is the end of the age. You see? The resurrection, this is an important point. Now, the first point I hope we saw was that there is an Antichrist. There is a horn. There is a lawless one. There is a beast. Revelation 13:7. And when Christ returns, He is making war against the saints. 2 Thessalonians here in the parousia. That word is very important. It's used 15 different times to describe the advent of the Lord. And that's because it's the same event. It's used in Matthew 24:27. It's used in 1 Thessalonians 4:15 through 17. 1 Thessalonians 4:15 uses the word parousia to describe the advent of the Lord, which pre-tribulation raptures, say verse 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 7 is the pre-tribulation rapture. But Paul calls that the coming. He calls it the parousia. He calls that the parousia in 1 Thessalonians 3:13. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 calls it the parousia. Okay, it's used 15 different times, and it's because it's the same event. Hopefully we may be given James 5:8. 1 John 2:28. 1 Corinthians 15:23. That's a very important verse. It says that the Lord being the first fruits of the resurrection, the first one from the dead to be alive again and never to die again. When He comes, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:23. 1 Corinthians 15:23. There's an order here. Just like there was an order in 2 Thessalonians, you had before the day of the Lord comes. Look at me now. You have before the day of the Lord comes, you have a falling away from sound doctrine, which is what we have right now. A falling away from the many people shall fall away. 1 Timothy 4. They will not take heed to sound doctrine, but will heap unto themselves teachers to tickle their ears. We're in that day. There's a great falling away. And then the man of sin is revealed. Then the Lord comes. He gathers His saints. And the angels, the reapers, are gathering the wheat into the barn. At the same time, they're gathering the tare to be bundled in the fire. And when He comes with the host, the beast and the false prophet, the lawless one, the horn, are thrown into a lake of fire. And here there's an order as well. Christ being the first fruits from the dead. The resurrection is key. When does the resurrection of believers take place? Pre-tribulationists say that is 7 years before the second coming of the Lord. That He comes three times. He's come once, then He comes in a secret, a hidden coming where no one sees Him, no one hears Him, and He takes the church out. I don't believe you can find that in Scripture. Everywhere where the Lord comes is audible, it's visible. He comes in the clouds. He comes with the voice of the archangel. He comes with the trumpet of God. He descends. Every eye shall see Him. He shall come in like manner. Acts chapter 1, 9 verses 9 through 11. That the angels, the disciples saw Him leave in a cloud. The angels said that He's going to return in like manner. So when He says He's coming with the clouds, it's not a figurative speech. Like some people believe, Matthew 24:29, when He comes in the clouds, they think that clouds do in the Old Testament are symbolic for judgment. Yes, but here, I don't believe that to be true because the disciples saw Him leave in clouds and the angel said He will come in like manner. He'll return in the clouds. So they saw Him leave. They're going, people will see Him in the same way return in the clouds. So it's a literal thing. It's not symbolic. Glory be to God. And here in 15:23. Okay, let's start with verse 22. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. For every man in his own order. There's an order to the return of Christ, to the resurrection. Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at His coming, at His parousia. There is that word again. So Christ is the first fruits. He's the first one to be raised from the dead to die no more. There's other people in the Old Testament that were raised from the dead. Lazarus was one. That's the New Testament. Elisha, he raised the widow woman's son. The married woman had a son. He died. Elisha raised him from the dead. And Elijah raised the widow woman's from the son. But they died again. Jesus is the first person to die, be raised from the dead, to die no more. Amen? And so here's the order. Christ the first fruits, afterward, they that are Christ at His parousia. There's that word. The gathering together of the saints, the resurrection of the dead, takes place at the parousia, at the coming of the Lord. That's the same word. Paul uses it. Jesus uses it. Peter uses it to describe the advent of the Lord. Because it's the same event. It's not two events for our pre-tribulations brothers. Okay? It's something audible. It's something visible. Every eye shall see Him when He returns. Praise the Lord. Now the timing of the resurrection is imperative. It's important when we're talking about the coming of Christ. Because pre-tribulationists teach that the resurrection will be 7 years before the coming of the Lord. But Jesus teaches that it'll be the last day. A finality of time is what that is. That's what completion. The end of a dispensation. Dispensation meaning time. We're starting a new age. Right now we're in time. When Christ comes after the last day, the resurrection, the gathering of the wheat into the barn, the tares being gathered and thrown into the fire. We're no longer in time. We are now in eternity. That's the age. There's two ages. One is for time. One is for eternity. Okay? Where were we going? The last day. Go to John chapter 6. This is so important. When does the resurrection of believers take place? You see? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. Look at me now. The Lord shall descend with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall be raised first, and those which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the air, and so shall they ever be with the Lord. Encourage one another. You see that there is a resurrection, that Christ is coming for us, that your dead ones that died in Christ will be made alive. Their dead bodies will be raised with a glorified body and reunited with their spirits. But Jesus says this takes place at the last day. Not 7 years prior. Okay? That's what our pre-tribulationist brothers believe. That 7 years before the Lord comes, He comes in a secret coming and He gathers and He raises the dead saints and He gathers the church and takes them out and nobody sees it, nobody hears it. You can't find that in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17 to me is something audible, something visible. Like all the, it coincides with all the other scriptures concerning the Advent. It coincides with them all. Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Immediately after the tribulation is the coming of the Son of Man. He comes with the trumpet of God. He comes with the angels. And what does He do? He gathers the elect. That's what's going on in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. The same thing that's going on in Matthew 24, 29 through 31. Because it's the same event. Amen? 2 Thessalonians, don't forget. The resurrection, the rest of the believers, we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, 23, it takes place at the coming of Christ. The parousia, that word is so important. Glory be to God. John chapter 6. That day, verses 39, I believe verses 39, 44. We'll start with 39. And this is the Father's will which He has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up the last day. Those that die in Christ, they will be raised the last day. That word last is finality. Day is time, a finality of time. We're no longer in time. After the last day of Christ, we're then in eternity. Amen? Okay. And this is the will of Him that sent me, verse 40, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. I will raise him up the last day. Now, how much more simple is that? That is so simple. The resurrection, those that believe in Christ, that have everlasting life, are raised the last day. Maybe Jesus knew that there would be a false doctrine of pre-tribulation rapture. No offense to our pre-tribulation brothers, but I believe it to be a false doctrine. Jesus says something four times in John chapter 6. I think that's very important to understand. He keeps repeating Himself. He says it in John 46:44. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. I will raise him up the last day. You see, that is the hope. The resurrection of the dead. Encourage one another. We're going to live forever. We're going to have a glorified body, but it doesn't take place till the last day. Not 7 years prior. Amen? No. The saints do not possess the kingdom. We're going to say this over and over. Let's go to Daniel 7:21. We'll come back to John 6 to finish up. It's verse 54. Let's just read it now. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood, whoso takes his life, believes that Christ is the Son of God, takes him by faith, has eternal life, I will raise him up the last day. Four times He's telling us. Maybe he saw, you know, He's all-knowing. Maybe He saw down the future that there'd be a doctrine that said that the resurrection for believers would be 7 years prior to the last day. Last means finality. Completion. Completion of time. Time is no more. Now we are in eternity. Those are the two ages. There's an age to come. There's an age we're living in now. It's time. When the disciples in Matthew 24:2-3, they ask Him, "What will be? When will these things be? The destruction of the temple, and the sign of Thy coming, and the end of the age." It's not our preterist brothers. He's not talking about the Jewish age. We're going to get into that. He's talking about the end of the world, which Jesus already described in Matthew 13:39. What the end of the age was. And it wasn't talking about the end of the Jewish age. Scripture interpreting Scripture. Christ defined the end of the age in Matthew 13:39-42. You see, He told us what that was. And it is the end of time. End being termination. A completion again of dispensation, of time. Time is no more. The harvest, the gathering, the rapture. Is the end of the age, the end of the world, the termination of time, not 7 years prior. And He sends His angels, the reapers, to gather the wheat into the barn. And He takes the tares. That's a very important verse because our preterist brothers believe that the end of the age in Matthew 24:2. Or is it verse 3? I'm not one of those verses. Our preterist brother believes He's talking about the end of the Jewish age. Amen? And He's not. He's talking about the end of the world, which He already defined what that meant in Matthew 13:39. And for our pre-tribulation brothers, that's a picture of Christ coming with His angels, His armies. And He comes when? The end of time. Termination of time, the last day. Huh? You see how it coincides? Scripture interpreting Scripture. He comes, the harvest, the gathering, the rapture is the end of the age, the end of the world. Termination of time. If anyone believe on me, I will give him everlasting life. I will raise him up the last day. finality of time, Jesus said. You see, so our pre-tribulation brothers, the resurrection, the rapture, you see, it doesn't take place until after the end of time. At the end of time, the last day. That's when the resurrection of believers take place. Now, can I get an amen? That's Scripture. Okay, where were we going? We were going back to Daniel chapter 7. Before we go back to Daniel chapter 7, let's go back to 1 Corinthians, because we're talking about the last day. We're talking about the end of time. Matthew 13:39. They're talking about the resurrection. It's at the last day. It's at the end of the world. The termination of time. The gathering of the saints. Okay? Now in 1 Corinthians 15:52, again he uses that word last. And it's talking about death being swallowed up in victory. It's talking about the mortal putting on immortality. And the last trump, the final trump, the termination of all trumpets. The last, there'll be no more trumpets. Amen? The last trumpet is what that means. Then the mortal puts on mortal. I will show you a mystery. We shall not all die, but we shall be changed in the moment of a twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. So here you have the last day. You have, I will raise up the believers at the last day. Here you have the end of the age. The angels go forth and gathering the wheat into the barn. And now you have the resurrection, the mortal, putting on immortality, death being swallowed up. Okay? The corruptible putting on incorruption at the last trumpet. And the saying shall be brought, death is swallowed up in victory. And death is swallowed up in victory at the last day, at the end of the age, and at the last trumpet. All meaning intertwined with the finality, with the termination of time. That age is over. The age of time is over. Now we're in eternity with God. We're in the age to come. Eternity. Bless the Lord. Now we're going to talk about why I believe Christians are going through tribulation and persecution. You see? Now let's start in Daniel 7:21 and 22. Right after Ezekiel. Bless the Lord. Then we'll go to Daniel 12. Daniel is a great book to understand Revelation. Hank Hanegraaff's always saying, to understand Revelation, you have to understand the Old Testament. And there's a lot of truth in that. But here, there is a horn. Verses 19. And I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Listen to this. Until the Ancient of Days came. And judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. They don't possess the kingdom until Christ comes. And when Christ comes, we see there's a horn making war with the saints and prevailing against us. Okay? That's one reason I believe there's persecution and the church is here. Here's evidence that the church is here when Christ comes. And there's a horn making war with the saints. And he's not talking about Old Testament saints, because he's talking about the time when we possess the kingdom. Here again, we're going from eternity, from time into eternity, because it goes on to say in Daniel 7 that this Ancient of Days, his kingdom, is an everlasting kingdom. An everlasting dominion. Okay? Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Here we go. And the kingdom of dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. So when the Ancient of Days comes, the horn is making war against the saints, and we're in time. There again, it's a picture. That's why I believe the church is here for tribulation, because the horn is making war against us and we don't possess the kingdom until after he comes. And it's an everlasting kingdom. So we go from time to eternity again. Amen? Okay, so that's one reason I believe the church is here during before Christ comes, that there's no pre-tribulation rapture, and that the church is here for tribulation, because there's the proof right there in Daniel. Now go to Daniel 12. Archangel Michael. Remember in 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, verses 16, the Lord Himself descends with a shout, listen now, with the voice of the archangel. And here's the archangel standing up for the people. And he's not just standing up for Israel, he's standing up for the people. All that are written in the book at this time shall be delivered. The deliverance of God's people does not come until after the tribulation. Listen to this. Verse 12 and 1. And it coincides with the resurrection of the dead here. Verses 12, chapter 12 of Daniel 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of the people. Remember, Michael comes with Christ. The Lord descends with the voice of the archangel. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to the same time. At that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone found written in the book. Of course, that book is the book of life. All of God's saints will be delivered. You see, when Christ comes, He comes with the voice of the archangel in the clouds of God. At that time, everyone written in the book shall be delivered. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. And some to everlasting life. So here we have the resurrection. Some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. Okay? And so it's a picture of tribulation and persecution of those that are written in the book of life before Christ comes and right before the resurrection. You see, the resurrection, the tribulation, and the resurrection go hand in hand here. And in verse 10, it talks about many, at this time, many shall be purified and made white and tried. You see, it's the tribulation that's going to purify us. It's the tribulation that's going to make us righteous, make us white, prepare us for heaven, remove the dross, the fires. You see, but the wicked will continue to do wicked and shall not understand, but the wise shall understand. We know what's going on. We know Christ is coming. We don't know the day or hour, but we can know the season, the time, not the day or hour. Glory be to God. There's two reasons right there. Okay? Revelation 13, it coincides with Daniel chapter 7. There's the horn of Daniel 7 is called the beast in Revelation chapter 13. And he makes war with the saints and overcomes them. And no man can buy or sell unless he has the mark of this beast. You see? And before the battle of Armageddon, go to Revelation 16. This is for our pre-tribulation brothers and our preterist brothers, that the tribulation has not been fulfilled yet. You see, the tribulation for the church. And listen, there's always been a government system with the world leader that has persecuted the people of God. Always. You have Egypt and Pharaoh. You have Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. You have Rome and Caesars. And Rome ruled up and clear till the 1400s. They were putting to death the people of God, the Roman Catholic Church, which is just an extension of Rome itself, infiltrating the church, the Dark Ages, and killing the people of God. And I believe there's going to be a Babylonian world system when Christ returns. Revelation 19. And there is a world leader. And again, he's persecuting the people of God. Like Nero did. Like Nebuchadnezzar did. Like Pharaoh did. Amen? But here in Revelation 16, this is the, it mentions the battle of Armageddon. In verse 16, and that's the last day battle. The nations gathering themselves together to battle God Almighty. You see? And now listen to verse 15. It's Jesus telling the church to watch and keep his garments. See, listen to this. And I saw the three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, verse 13, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I come as a thief. He hasn't come yet. But right before he's coming, the dragon is sending forth spirits. The beast, the false prophet are here. And spirits are going forth to deceive the nations by these miracles to gather them together to battle Christ. Revelation 19 again. The armies come into heaven. And all the nations gather themselves to fight him who sits on the horse. You see? And that's the same thing. You see? And the church is here. Because in verse 15 he says, behold, I come as a thief. He that watcheth, there's the church, and keepeth his garments. Okay, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. He's warning his people to keep their garments, to live righteously. Amen? To not begin to sin and give in to the flesh, but keep your garments spotless. If the church is in here, who's he warning? And it's during the time when the Antichrist is here and he's deceiving the nations by miracles. The church is here. It's not taken out in some secret rapture 7 years prior to that. You see? Now look at verse, let's read verse 15 again. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. And he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. And the seventh angel poured out his vial in the air. This is the seventh vial. The judgments of God have been falling on the earth. But see, the wrath of God has been being poured out. We're at the seventh vial and Jesus hasn't come yet. Determination, we're still in time. Amen? Amen? And he's telling the church to keep their garments because they're here. You see? He's telling the church to keep their garments because they're here. Glory to God. Help me, Lord. And now in Revelation 20, verse 4. So, see, all these things are a picture of the saints here and persecution going on and the church here during the time of when the Antichrist is here, persecuting them, sending forth lying signs, deceiving the nations. And, of course, Revelation 20, verse 4 says, I saw the saints that were beheaded for the witness and for the testimony of Christ. Verse 4, Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither hath received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So who are these people that are being beheaded during they didn't receive the mark? They wouldn't receive the mark of the beast, or they would not bow down and worship his image, a lot like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego would not bow down to the image, and they were thrown into the fire. Here we have people being beheaded, but they're alive. This tells me that the church is there during the time of persecution, during the time of the lawless one, and that there's tribulation going on. Revelation 7, these are they that came out of the tribulation, and the sun shall not heat on them. There will be no more crying. You see? They'll never thirst again, Revelation 7 says. You see? So that tells me if they were thirsty and the sun was scorching them, and they were in great pain, that there was great persecution and tribulation going on. And these things shall not no more be when Christ returns. The coming of the Lord. And now we go to Matthew 24, 29 through 31. So you see that the church is here. There's during the time of the end, during the time of tribulation, there's great persecution going. People are dying. They're being persecuted for their faith. By the horn is making war with them. And Matthew 24:29-31, it says that Jesus comes immediately after the tribulation. And then he gathered the elect. And for our preterist brothers here, the context of this, he's not coming in judgment. He's coming in the clouds. He's coming with his angels to gather the elect. You see? And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth shall mourn, all the earth, all the nations. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven in power and great glory. You see? But it doesn't say he's coming in power and great glory to bring destruction upon the Jewish temple. Here it says he's coming in power and great glory, and he sends his angels out to gather the elect. But this is done after the tribulation. The gathering of the saints, the resurrection of the dead, is the last day after the tribulation. And we already saw where when Christ comes, the lawless one is in power. You see? And Christ destroys him with the brightness of his coming. When he comes, in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1, concerning the coming of our Lord and the gathering together of him, first there must be a falling away. You see the order. Then there must be the Antichrist. Then there's great persecution and tribulation he brings upon the people of God. Then Christ comes. Then we possess the kingdom. Not 7 years prior. Amen? And here it says he comes in the clouds. And our preterist brothers believe that clouds represent judgment. And there is truth to that. There is symbolic and figurative language in the Old Testament that when it mentioned clouds in Isaiah, it was talking about judgments. But here, go to Acts chapter 1. Why I believe these clouds to be literal. Every eye shall see him. It's not something done in secret. Bless the Lord. The Lord never does anything in secret. Amen? Amen. He shares his secrets with his servants, the prophets. Glory to God. Here we go, Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Glory to God. Our preterist brothers believe that Revelation has been fulfilled, Matthew 24 has been fulfilled, and there are some partial things in Matthew 24 that have been fulfilled. There are some things in Revelation that have been fulfilled, but the coming of the Lord and the Antichrist is a literal thing. It was not Nero. And I believe the mark of the beast to be a literal thing because Christ is omniscient, God is omniscient. Therefore, He knows those that are His. And so when he talks about sealing his servants on their foreheads, it is symbolic, it is figurative, because he's omniscient. But the devil is not omniscient, so he wants to mark those. He wants to know those who are his. You see, and in his pride, he wants their worship, and he wants them to declare openly their allegiance to him. You see, that's why it's a literal mark. And I also believe that in Rome, in order for people to buy and sell, they had to take a mark. And before they went into the markets, they had to do a Hail Caesar. Like, kind of like a Heil Hitler. That's where they got that. Hail Caesar. They would lift up their hand, you know, worshiping Caesar as Lord. But they would have to take a mark on their hand so they could go in and buy or sell. Now that was something literal. Amen? Now the clouds are so much. I hope I get excited. I hope I've made some sense today. Acts chapter 1, he comes in the clouds. Verses 9 through 11. And when Jesus had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Now, I've seen this cloud 2 different times in my life. Once was in a prison cell. A big cloud filled my cell, and it turned into a fire. And it spoke out of the midst of the fire, and my body was trembling. I could not speak, much like with Daniel. He could not speak. He fell to the ground. I was laying on my bed reading a book or reading the Word. I'm not quite sure. But all I remember was my knees knocking. All I was remember, I couldn't talk. And my whole body trembled. And out of the fire cloud, he spoke and said, I am. Now, you can test that in Scripture. That's something that happened to someone else. But here we see that he was received out of a cloud in their sight. It's something literal. Now listen to this. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, 2 men stood by them in white apparel. Okay, so 2 angels are now standing besides, as he's taken up into heaven, they're standing beside the disciples in white apparel. Which also said, these angels said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye up gazing into heaven? You see, they're watching him leave in a cloud. This same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. So he left in a cloud. They're saying he's going to come in a cloud. They saw him leave in a cloud. The angels are saying that you'll see him come in the clouds. So when Matthew 24, when he says he's coming in the clouds, it's not something figurative, it's not something symbolic for judgment, it's something literal. Because the angel said he'll come in like manner. He left in the clouds, he's coming in the clouds. Can I get an amen? And in Matthew 24, I'm sorry, my preterist brothers, it doesn't seem that he's coming there for judgment. Although judgment does take place when he comes, the parousia. Matthew 24:27, but he's coming to gather the elect. The main context of that verse 31 is that he sends forth his angels. He comes in the cloud. He comes with his angels with the sound of a trumpet. Same thing as 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. Same word used, parousia. 1 Corinthians 15:23, the resurrection at his coming. Okay? He gathers the elect. It doesn't say he's sending the angels forth for judgment there. He's coming in the clouds, and he's coming, and all the tribes of the earth mourn. They're terrified. They're afraid. Everything grows dark. Then all of a sudden, the heavens open up in a scroll, and the brightness of the Lord comes down. And the Antichrist is destroyed by the brightness of his coming. Everything will go dark. Then the Son of Man will come. The stars will go dark. The moon will go dark. No sun. Completely black. That's how every eye will see him. All the world's going to be dark. And the heavens will roll back like a scroll. And the Lord and his brightness, the light, will come down and it will destroy the wicked one. But at the same time, in Matthew 24:29-31, he's coming. Everything's dark. But he sends his angels to gather the elect. He's coming in the clouds to gather his elect, not to send judgment. I don't see that in there. You can't add that there. You see? Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let's see where we are. Glory to God. Is that all we have? I know I'm missing something. There's always more. I just want you to see that this beast, this lawless one, this Babylonian world system is in power when Christ returns. That's what Daniel 7:21 says in 22. That's for our preterist brothers that think it's all been fulfilled. Revelation 13 and Matthew 24 and 2 Thessalonians 2. They even use that as that Christ came in judgment. You see, but that's the word parousia again in the first verse. The context is talking about the gathering of his saints. That's the first thing. You see, he comes to gather his saints. And before he comes to gather his saints,
There's a falling away, then the Antichrist, then the parousia, the same word in 2 Thessalonians 2:2 or 2 Thessalonians 2:1 is used in 2 Thessalonians 2:8. When he comes and he destroys, he consumes the Antichrist. He kills him with the brightness of his coming. The lawless one. So that's very important to understand. You see that before Christ comes, there is an Antichrist. He is making war. There is persecution. There is tribulation. And the resurrection of the righteous is another important point. The first point is that when Christ comes, there is a world leader. There is a world system. And it's against everything that God, everything that's holy, everything that is righteous, it is against it. And it's making war with us. And the second point is that for our pre-tribulation brothers, is that the resurrection of the dead takes place at the last day. The resurrection of the righteous takes place the last day. Jesus reiterated it 4 times. And then in other places, the mortal putting on immortality, which is the resurrection of the believer, takes place at the last trump. You see? And then 1 Corinthians 15:53, the coming of the Lord, Christ being the first fruits that's raised from the dead to die no more. Then those that are His are raised at His coming. The parousia again. And that takes place the last day. That place takes place at the last trump. The kingdoms of our Lord and the kingdoms of this world do not belong to the Christ. Christ does not take possession of the nations and the kingdom until after the seventh trumpet of Revelation 11:15. You see? And so what I'm trying to say is that the resurrection is the end of the age. Jesus comes, He sends His angels to gather the wheat into the barn. And he gathers the tares and throws them into the fire. That's at the end of the age, the end of the world. That's what that is, the end of time. The termination is, the end means termination, completion of a dispensation, of a period of time, the completion. We're no longer in time, now we're in eternity. And the resurrection, the gathering together of the saints, is at the end of time. The finality of time, the last day, the last trump. You see how it fits together? Not 7 years prior. And it's important to know, to be ready for tribulation, to be watching, to be ready. Jesus said, keep your garments, knowing that there's lying signs, there's lying wonders, there's false prophets coming. To gather, to fool even the very elect. It's important that you know that the devil spewing out frogs, demon spirits, going forth to gather them together, to gather to deceive the nations. Keep your garments, he said. Blessed is he that watcheth, be awake, looking, understanding. Amen. That these things are coming. Whew, glory to God. And understanding the resurrection is not till the last day. Let's go to Matthew 13 anyway. We got some time. I don't think I've gone that long. Glory to God. Second coming of Christ is when the resurrection takes place. It's when time stops and eternity takes place at the parousia. The kingdom, the saints possess the kingdom, and Christ possesses the nations after the last trumpet. And after Christ comes, the Ancient of Days comes, the Antichrist makes war, the horn makes war until, that word until is so important, the Antichrist, the horn makes war until the Ancient of Days come. Up until, that's what that means, up until the time Christ comes, the Ancient of Days comes, the saints, this horn is making war until that day. The last day. The end of the age. The termination of time. Glory to God. There is a persecution going. Amen. We're going to be here. Bless the Lord. That's Scripture. Glory to God. We're going to Matthew 13. Start with verse 39. Jesus is telling the parable of the sowers. Sowing the good seed is the kingdom, the children of the kingdom. The bad seed are the children of the wicked one. Let them both grow together, Jesus said. Okay, and then they asked him, what do these things mean? Verse 38, the field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. See, there's light and there's darkness. The enemy has children. Amen? Children of light, children of darkness. He will put enmity between his seed and the enemy's seed. There's enmity between them. They hate us. They want to kill us. Glory to God. And verse 39, the enemy that sowed them, now listen, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them, the devil, is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. You see? The harvest, the gathering, the rapture is the end of the world. Actually, that word world is also time, age. I believe it's Ionis. An age, a dispensation, and that word end is complete, a completion, a finality, a termination of a time. See, there's no more time. At the end of time, the angels come, and therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, they shall gather out of His kingdom all things that offend and do iniquity. Amen. He's going at the end of time. Is the gathering. Gathering the wheat into the barn. Glory be to God. But the harvest, the gathering, is the end of the age. And now I want to go to Matthew 24 for our preterist brothers. Because Jesus just described what's going to happen at the end of the age. And so the disciples already understand what the end of the age is. They just want to know when it's going to be. Tell us, what will these things be? The disciples came unto Him privately, tell us, when will these things be, and what shall be the sign of Thy coming and the end of the age, the end of the world. And a predator will tell you that's the end of the Jewish age. But I'll tell you that the disciples aren't asking when is going to be the end of the Jewish dispensation. Look at me. It's not going to be. He's not talking about what will be the end of the Jewish age, because they already know what the end of the age meant. They just want to know when. When's it all going to be over? Because He already described in detail to them in Matthew 13 what the end of the age meant. And it had nothing to do with the end of the Jewish dispensation. It had to do with the end of time. Amen? Coming into eternity. The wheat's gathered into the barn, the tares are burned with unquenchable fire. Glory be to God. And so you can see that doesn't hold water. And coming in the clouds, I believe that the preterist brother believes that's symbolic, Him coming in judgment. But I believe we saw that the angel said it's going to be something literal, that He left in the cloud, He'll return in the clouds. And it's something that you will see, every eye shall see Him. It's something audible, it's something visible. You see? It's not something secret, it's something you can hear, it's something you can see. And all the earth, tribes of the earth mourn. They're terrified. Men's hearts failing them for fear for things coming upon the earth. Glory be to God. Let me read you something here. Whew. Check out the word parousia and study the parousia and study the similarities between all the advents of the Lord. And you will see. See, He comes with the angels, Matthew 29, verse 31. The angels are the reapers in Matthew 13. So when He comes with the armies of heaven, the hosts, He's talking about angels, 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Okay? Let me read that real quick before I read this to you. That's another teaching, that's another point, that when Jesus comes, He doesn't come with the church. He comes with the hosts, the armies of heaven, and those are angels. And we see that in Matthew 29 through 31. He comes with the angels. You see that in all the other Gospels, Mark 13, Luke 21. And you also see it in Matthew 13, that He sends His angels to sever the just from the wicked. So He comes with His angels. They are the hosts. They are the armies. And that's what it says in 2 Thessalonians, the first chapter. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you, and to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels. The apocalypsis, the revelation, the revealing of Christ. You see, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with an everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of the power, and from the glory of His power, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints. See, He comes to be glorified in His saints. The saints are here. He's taking vengeance on the wicked. And He comes and to be glorified in His saints. You see, in the apocalypsis, the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven. It coincides with the word parousia. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. The coming of the Lord and the gathering together of His saints. You see, He comes with His angels to separate the just from the wicked. He's coming to be glorified in us. Amen? At the last day, at the last trumpet, at the end of the age, at the termination of time, not 7 years prior. Glory be to God. And you have to understand, God's wrath, verse 1 Thessalonians 5:9, He has not appointed us under wrath. Those trumpets, those judgments, those bowls. You see, the trumpets, the bowls, the seals, they're not for us. They're for the wicked. You see, in the land of Goshen, there was the children of Israel. And there was darkness in Egypt, but the children of Israel had light. There were plagues stricken on the Egyptians, but not one plague touched the children of Israel. So it shall be in the 75-pound hail falling. You see, 1,000, Psalm 91, 1,000 shall fall at thy left side, 10,000 at thy right side, but it shall not come nigh thy dwelling. 75-pound hail will fall on your neighbor's house, will fall on your neighbor's house to the left, your neighbor's house to the right, but it won't fall upon your house. Because he has his wrath, he has not appointed to you the wrath. And you have to look at the type of the children of Israel. The judgments that fall on Egypt is a type of the judgments that are going to fall on the earth at the end of the last day when He pours out His wrath without mixture. And His preservation of the children of Israel in that time, they had light. None of the plagues, not one plague struck them. The locusts, the flies, nothing on their cattle. All the beasts, all the cattle, they died. In Egypt, but not in Goshen. God has not appointed us under wrath. I encourage you to read Psalm 91. It is the preservation of God's people during the time of His wrath. Amen? Yeah. Read Psalm 91. It's God's wrath being poured. It's the preservation of God's people during the time of His wrath being poured out upon the earth. Glory be to God. The preservation of the saints. Oh, glory be to God. There was something I wanted to read you. God's wrath is not for you, brothers and sisters. Don't fear persecution. Don't feel the tribulation. His wrath being poured out. He has not appointed you under wrath. Now, you might be persecuted. Some of you might die by the hand of the wicked. But when God's wrath and His judgments and His bowls are poured out upon the wicked, it will not come nigh you. Amen? He has sent His angels charge over you, you see, to keep you in all your ways. Glory be to God. Whew, I think that's enough. We bless you, Lord. I pray that this was presented in such a way to see to the another view, the post-tribulationist view. There's other points to this about the church in Israel being one, that we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but now we are part of the household of faith. I believe Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. To the Hebrews, he says, in the book of Hebrews, 12th chapter, Paul says, "You have come unto the church of the firstborn." Talking, writing to Hebrews, you must come to the church of the firstborn. The church is the Israel of God. You see? You must be born again of the Spirit to the Jew and the Gentile. The Jews are not discounted. I believe there is a gathering of the Jew in the last day that they will look upon Him whom they pierced. They will mourn for Him. I believe they've already looked upon Him, but they haven't mourned for Him. Their eyes haven't, the scales are still over their eyes. Those scales will be removed and they will look upon Him. They will mourn for Him. I mourn for Him. Glory be to God. I believe there will be a gathering of the Jews, the time of Gentiles being fulfilled. Jerusalem shall be trodden down till the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. You see, that leaves an opening that this nation, these things shall not happen till this nation pass away. And that there that leaves an opening in the last of the days till the Gentiles are fulfilled. The gospel will turn to the Jewish people, I believe. But they must come unto the church of the firstborn. Yes, the promises in the Old Testament are for the Israel of God. We are for the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Because He says, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens of the household of faith. I am a fellow citizen. All the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ, only in Christ, to the Jew and to the Gentile. You cannot be part of the Messianic kingdom without Messiah. Amen? And so there's other things to this, but I just wanted to present to the church that they're here during the time of persecution, that there is an Antichrist. When Christ comes with the armies of heaven, they are making war against us. And though there are people being beheaded, and they're not Jewish believers. The pre-tribulation will say those are Jewish believers. Well, I would ask them, where does it say that in the Word of God? You can't make all the, you can't make a whole doctrine out of inferences. You see, the saints do not possess the kingdom until after Christ comes. The end of time does not take place. The resurrection of the believer does not take place till when? Last day. Finality of time. I will raise him up the last day. He said it four times because he knew there would be a teaching that would say the believers are going out 7 years prior. It's important if he mentions it four times. The resurrection of the believers, the last day. Harvest, the end of the age. Okay? The harvest, the gathering, the rapture, the end, termination again. Finality of a dispensation of time is over. Eternity starts. The resurrection of the believer, the end of the age, the last day, the last trumpet, it all coincides. Glory be to God. Don't be deceived. Amen. Rightly divide the word of truth. Bless the name of Jesus. And that Nero, there is an Antichrist. That's the third thing. There is an Antichrist. He does make war with us. And Jesus destroys him at His coming. 2 Thessalonians 2:8. The coming of the Lord, the gathering together of the saints is after a falling away. We're in that right now, I believe, a great falling away of sound doctrine. People heaping unto themselves teachers to tickle their ears. Men shall not always endure sound doctrine. In the last days there shall be perilous times. Well, is evil getting worse and worse? What's worse than a mother turning her heart away from her child and sacrificing it so she can have an education or so she can have a better life, she thinks, or go out and have all the free sex she wants at the child's hindrance? Let's just kill it. You see, I'm not setting a date, but I am telling you, not a day or an hour, but the Lord spoke that the world won't last 30 more years of doing that, of shedding innocent blood. Marriage is, the devil has destroyed the structure of marriage. 6 out of 10 marriages end in divorce. Everyone lives together before they get married and they have kids, they abort them. Women, they've devalued the role of the wife and mother. And women are working and seeking education, success, and career, not getting married till their late 20s, not having children till their 30s, and they're having few and fewer. It's only, see, common sense, society can't survive, civilization, and the promotion of homosexuality. As a, what are we going to do? Raise kids in test tubes? So that will be a loving society. Mass produce them to take care of the next generation. Civilization cannot survive without family. Moms, dads, sons, and daughters. It'll fall. That's why even Vladimir Putin, he's an atheist, but he understands that. He was paying married couples to have children. Because he knows that there's not enough children to take care of the next generation. We need more people. You see? There's not population control. It's not out of control. America's in trouble. Europe's in trouble. The Western civilization is in trouble. It's a house of cards ready to fall. Be ye ready. It's setting the stage for a world government, a world leader who's going to persecute us. Amen? But Jesus will destroy him. Greater is he that is in us. Be not afraid. And God's going to pour out his wrath. God is angry with the wicked every day. Sometimes people say, you preach like you're angry. Well, God is angry. Amen?
Amen.
He's waiting for us to return. He sends judgments 4 times in this decade. The natural disasters 4 times more in this decade than any other decade. That should tell believers something. If you believe in the sovereignty of God, and that all things are of God and through God and to God, to Him be glory. There's a great shaking in the earth right now. Even on the news, but they keep calling it Mother Nature. But it's not Mother Nature, it's Father God. Earthquakes, mudslides, tsunamis, floods, volcanoes spewing ash. I gave a prophetic word that God would send judgment against Europe. Who knows how long that ash will last? $200 million a day. The airlines are losing. I don't know about American airlines. That's just European. If it lasts a couple weeks, it's in trouble. And there again, maybe people will start praying. Maybe they'll wake. It's midnight. The bridegroom comes. There's a cry. The bridegroom cometh. Darkness. Midnight. Trim your lamps. Wake up. Come to Christ. He will give you light. Awaken thyself out of thy sleep, Paul said. And come to Christ. He shall give you light. Trim your lamps. Glory be to God. We bless you. This word to encourage, enlighten, strengthen. Open the eyes. Use it. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. I welcome any comments to sit down, debate the Scriptures. But I think it's pretty plain in Scripture. Daniel 12. Daniel 7:21. There's a time of tribulation before the coming of the Lord. And at the time of the tribulation, those that are written in the book are delivered. And then it coincides with the resurrection. The termination, the end. Open your eyes. There is no pre-tribulation rapture. And to the preterist, I would say some of the things have been fulfilled. But I think Scripture proves that there's a persecution, there's a tribulation coming on the last day group of people of God. And a world leader. Without a shadow of a doubt. And it was not Nero. He does not signs, miracles, and wonders. You see, and Christ did not come and destroy Nero when He came. When Christ comes, He destroys the lawless one. So if He came in judgment, He didn't destroy Rome. This Babylonian world system is destroyed in 1 hour. Rome wasn't destroyed in 1 hour. It went on and on and on to almost the 13th century. Different variations, different looks, but nevertheless, it was still pretty much pagan Rome with their brutality and their cruelty. You see, but this Babylonian world system is destroyed in 1 hour, and it's destroyed when Christ comes, the parousia. Glory be to God. If it's talking about 70 AD, and Babylon is Rome of Revelation, you see, He did not destroy that system in 1 hour. He destroyed the Jewish system. So maybe the Jews could be Babylon, I think they might teach. I'm not sure. But I don't agree with that. Lord, use this for Your glory. Hallelujah. We bless You. Gather Thy people. Gather Thy people. Send forth the sound of the trumpet to gather Thy people. Gather Thine elect. Send forth laborers to gather Thine elect. Strengthen the elect. Awaken them, Lord, to repentance, to righteousness, to holiness. Come out of her. Come out of the world. My people, saith the Lord. Glory be to God. We pray these things. A holy remnant, a bride. Prepared, equipped them. I had a dream. And I saw sealed souls being thrown into the lake of fire. And Jesus said, John, prepare for the Lord. And that I'm trying to do that. Use this message for Your glory. May many come and hear it and be encouraged and strengthened and eyes opened. I believe it to be the truth. Glory be to God. And we praise You in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen.
Praise the Lord.